The date was 1994. Pretty sure it was probably May of 94, but not 100% sure. The place was right here at Maranatha. I was brand new to the church, and part of my internship requirements were that I would lead several worship services. And on one particular Sunday, I was asked to call up Chris Martins for an announcement. And I looked around and I saw Walter kind of pointing at himself, mouthing the words, did you call me? And I nodded and gave a wave, come on up. And as he came, I said, come on up, Chris, it's nice to meet you. That's exactly what happened that day, too. People chuckled and laughed, and I had no idea what was going on. And he said, actually, my name is Walter. Chris is my wife, and I have no idea what her announcements is about. Well, as you can imagine, there were chuckles and laughter just like there were today, but I have never forgotten their names since. I have never mixed them up since, and probably never will. Isn't that right, Chris? I also know some other things about Chris, but we'll just leave that one alone. Anyways, God wants us to learn His name as well. He doesn't want us to use names that are too casual or commonplace. I'm sure He's not real impressed when we refer to Him as the big guy in the sky or the man upstairs. And we learned last week that the very first name He gave us in the Bible is Elohim. He is the eternal creator. He is the Holy Trinity. He creates, and when He creates, He does so with purpose. And the name that we're going to look at today is the name Adonai. This name is used over 300 times in the Old Testament. It's a bit difficult to see in our English Bibles because many translations use two different renderings of the same name to make distinctions between Yahweh and Adonai. Yahweh appears with all caps in your Bible. Adonai is the word Lord with one capital letter and the rest in lowercase. And we just don't see it. And the NIV complicates it even more, but we'll get into that later. See, the word Adonai means master. It's also defined as Lord or owner. It's used for how slaves spoke of their masters and subjects of their kings. And when we say that God is Adonai, we are stating that He is Lord of all. He is supreme over His subjects. Let me read to you from Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17. Now, I've put the English up here, but I'm going to read it with a little bit of Hebrew flair. For Yahweh, your Elohim, is Elohim of Elohim, and Adonai of Adonai, the great Elohim, mighty and awesome. It just isn't the same in English, is it? But in order for us to capture the meaning of Adonai, let's turn to the world of pets. In his book called Cat and Dog Theology, Bob Shargin describes the different attitudes between a dog and a cat. A dog says, you pet me, you feed me, you shelter me, you love me, you must be God. A cat says, you pet me, you feed me, you shelter me, you love me, I must be God. And in a humorous way, this book captures how we often approach God. And both cats and dogs want obedience in their lives. Dogs want to obey God. Cats want God to obey them. Dogs worship God primarily for who He is, while cats, they enjoy what He's doing for them. In some ways, dogs study theology. Cats study meology. Or in their case, meology. God does not exist for our benefit. We have been given good gifts for His glory. So I want to take a look at some scriptural survey of the word of His name, Adonai, to help us get our priorities and our purposes back on track so that we become more like canines instead of cats. Sorry, those of you who are cat lovers. We'll look at a couple of Old Testament individuals and to see their relationship with Adonai. And the first one is Abraham. And Abraham actually argues with Adonai. Adonai is first used by Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, where he says, "O sovereign Lord." Remember I said the NIV messes things up? They don't even put Lord in here in the right spot. It says, "O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus." See, the NIV translates Adonai as sovereign. Well, the NASB uses the phrase, "O Lord God." Helps out a little bit better. What he's saying is, "O Adonai Yahweh." Abraham had left his country in Genesis chapter 12, and at Bethel he calls on Hashem Yahweh, the name of the Lord. And he obeyed the Lord, but then he resorted to lying to protect his wife Sarah when they went to Egypt. That didn't turn out so well, as Sarah ended up marrying the Pharaoh, and then he told the truth, and it's a mess. Go ahead and read it yourself. But things start going along pretty well once he's exiled out of Egypt. And we come to chapter 15, and Abram knows God as Creator and Most High God, but now he questions Adonai. He calls him sovereign with his lips, but in his heart he's filled with doubt. See, God had promised him a son, but all he had was a servant. You ever feel like that? Ever feel like you know God has promised good, but you're stuck with a measly servant? You're not getting the good stuff. Well, in order to expand Abram's view of Adonai, God takes him outside. And in verse 5, he declares, "Look up at the heavens and count the stars, indeed, if you could count them." And then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." God is really saying, "Abe, settle down. Since I have placed all the stars in the heavens, do you think your childlessness is a problem for me?" And he's once again reminded of the vastness of God, the awesomeness of who He is. And Abram believed the Lord. But then he yo-yos. In verse 8 he says, "Oh, Adonai, how can I know that I will gain possession of it?" A little frustrating, don't you think, from God's point of view? Abraham is acknowledging his own insufficiency in light of God's sufficiency, yet he doesn't understand. But he uses the name Lord, Adonai, to communicate his commitment to live under the leadership of the Lord. Well, at the same time, he questions. He questions what God is able to do. God then confirms His word by entering into a permanent covenant with Abraham. Abraham was suffering from a little bit of meology. He's a little too much like the cat. When he didn't understand something or when things started getting difficult, in essence, he hissed like a cat at the Creator. And we've come to that point, we have to come to that point where we realize that God is Lord of all that we own, that all that we are, all that we do is to glorify Him. And I know that each and every one of us doubt God at times in our lives. But let me be very clear about something. No matter how much doubt that we have, no matter how often we doubt, it will never be enough to erase God's will for us. Nor will it be able to erase the permanent ink that God has written our names down in His book of life. We can doubt all we want, but that ink is permanent by God. Our doubt will never erase that. Our salvation is secure. But Adonai was teaching Abraham two truths that run through the entire Bible. First, that Adonai owns everything. Look at the stars. Count them if you can. The second thing is, we must obey Adonai. Folks, because God has possession of me, I must be in submission to Him. Since He is Lord, I must live under His leadership. He is majestic and mighty. I am but a manager, at best, of the resources that He has given us. And I need to become more like a dog and less like a cat. I exist for Adonai. He doesn't exist for me, myself, and I. This is all summed up beautifully in Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. It's all Adonai's. He's the owner, and I must obey Him. I believe it was Warren Wiersbe who said, "The first duty of every soul is to find not its freedom, but its master." When Queen Victoria ascended to her throne, as the custom of royalty, she went to the performance of the Messiah. And her advisors told her that she must not rise while others stand during the singing of the Hallelujah chorus. Royalty does not do that. And when the choir belted out, "For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth," she stayed seated with turmoil in her heart, with great difficulty. But when they proclaimed Messiah as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, suddenly the young queen leapt to her feet and bowed her head in submission, as if she were to take her own crown and to cast it at His feet. The next guy I want to look at, Moses. Moses came face to face with Adonai. And when God appeared to Moses in the burning bush in Exodus 3, He did so as Yahweh. And Moses seemed to understand that God is a self-existent one, but still struggled to submit to His sovereignty. God has given him an assignment, and Moses doesn't want to do it. And in some ways, I really like Moses, because he just spits it out like it is. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, Moses said to Yahweh, "Oh Adonai, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since You have spoken to Your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." And Moses addresses God as Lord and acknowledges that He is His servant. But then he attempts to give an excuse and excuse himself from obeying his Lord based upon his apparent inability to speak well. "I stutter." Yeah, it doesn't cut it. In verses 11 and 12, the Lord responds to Moses by reminding him that since He is the Creator who made him, He can certainly put words in his mouth. Moses should have just surrendered at this point, but he doesn't. He's a lot like us, isn't he? He tries to avoid obedience. He's acting more like a cat than a dog. He says, "But Moses said," in verse 13, "Oh, Adonai, Please send someone else to do it. God's anger then burned against Moses because on the one hand, he confesses him as Lord. But on the other hand, he contradicts this confession with a lack of obedience. Anybody else here guilty of that? I know I am. We call him Lord, but we live the way we want. God just doesn't tolerate this. Jesus put it this way in Luke chapter 6. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Folks, we affirm his ownership. And if we do that, we better obey him. We need to obey Adonai, our Lord. Next, we've got one of my favorite guys in the Old Testament, David. Can't explain why he's my favorite, but he's devoted to Adonai. And one of the most frequent names used by David for God is the name Adonai. In 2 Samuel 7, verses 18 through 20, it appears four times. And once again, the NIV, it translates it as sovereign. Who am I, O sovereign Lord? And what is my family that you have brought me this far? And as if this were not enough in your sight, O sovereign Lord, you have also spoken about the future of the house of your servant. Is this your usual way of dealing with man, O sovereign Lord? What more can David say to you? For you know your servant, O Adonai. David recognizes God's sovereignty and his role as his servant. And even though he is king, he acknowledges that Adonai owns everything, and as a result, he must obey. He understands the awesome power of Adonai. In Psalm 114, it says, "Tremble, O earth, at the presence of Adonai." In the Old Testament, those who called on Adonai were acknowledging his right to reign. To reign not just as a king, but to reign supreme. And as a result, the responsibility of all believers is to serve the sovereign Lord. And since God owns everything, I must obey him. If we're going to call him Lord, we better start living for him. Now, the meaning of Adonai as sovereign Lord is carried into the New Testament. It's used of Jesus with the Greek word Kyrios 643 times. And in the book of Acts, Jesus is referred to as Kyrios, as Lord, 88 times. And while he's called Savior just twice. And I have a sneaking suspicion that the evangelical church is overemphasizing his role as Savior at the expense of his Lordship. And as a result, there's too many Christians, quote unquote, who believe they accept Jesus as Savior, but do not submit to him as Lord. Let's look at some verses in the New Testament. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Acts chapter 2. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Believe in the Lord, and you will be saved, you and your household. That if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans. It's just four verses, and it's amazing how salvation is connected with the Lordship. But very few times is he actually called Savior. The Lordship of Jesus Christ means that he has dominion, authority, and sovereignty, and the right to rule over his creation, including you and me. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says that the use of Lord is just not enough. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name did drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoer. Folks, grace is not cheap. We must resist the urge to spread the gospel of easy believism. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German pastor who was surrounded by lukewarm church leadership, by cultural Christians. And he was imprisoned for his faith. And while in prison, he wrote these words, Christianity without discipleship is Christianity without Christ. It remains an abstract idea, a myth. There is trust in God, but no following of Christ. If we would follow Jesus, we must take certain definite steps. The first step, which follows the call, cuts the disciple from his previous existence. If you're trying to make a clean start, to have Christ in your life and begin life new, you have to cut off the old life. Certainly easier to call him Creator or Elohim than it is to accept him as Adonai, isn't it? To live under his lordship. So exactly how does Adonai of the Old and the New Testaments become our testament? Our testament is not a new addition to the Bible. Don't stone me for that in the bulletin. Our testament is exactly how we live out our lives for Christ. Well, the first thing we need to do is to serve sacrificially. For those of you who helped out at the Fall Supper last night, I want to thank you guys so much. I believe that virtually everyone in the church helped out or donated something to make last night a success. That is serving. But are you holding back in any way? Do you serve just when it's convenient? Is it time for you to give your all to Adonai? Because he has given you his all. So we need to serve sacrificially. We also need to watch our words. Be careful of using the name Lord if you're not interested in obeying. The very mention of his name should cause us to shudder if we are serving in our own interests. Some of us overuse his name when we pray. It's almost like we use the word Lord as a comma or some sort of punctuation mark. But remember, to call on him or to call him Lord means that we are serious about living in light of his lordship. I came across a very short reading this week. See if these words challenge you as much as they did me. You call me light and see me not. You call me way and follow me not. You call me life and desire me not. You call me wise and acknowledge me not. You call me fair and love me not. You call me rich and ask me not. You call me eternal and seek me not. You call me gracious and trust me not. You call me noble and serve me not. You call me mighty and honor me not. You call me just and fear me not. You call me master and obey me not. If I condemn you, blame me not. We need to watch our words, folks. We call him all of these things, but they don't mean anything to us. Well, a third way is to give generously. One of the best ways to remind yourself that you belong to the Lord is to make sure that he is the master over your money. Some of us are not fully devoted to Adonai because we're committed more to our cash than to Christ. It's impossible to adore Adonai and be devoted to dollars. Augustine once said, Jesus Christ is not valued at all until he is valued above all. If you're not experiencing the joy of tithing in your income for kingdom purposes, may I encourage you to take God up on his challenge. His challenge is found in Malachi. He knows how difficult it is for us to give. But he tells us in Malachi chapter 3 to put him to the test when it comes to money. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. Take the tithing challenge, and you will experience immeasurable blessings. Even more than that, you will grow in your love for the Lord and bring glory to God. When will we learn that we give not to get blessings, but to grow in our love for the giver of all of those blessings? It'd be kind of silly not to say thank you to those of you who are tithing and giving. We appreciate it. We need it. But a final area is to fully surrender everything to his sovereignty. You see, the litmus test in determining if you are following Adonai is to ask yourself these questions. Have I surrendered everything to him? Since he owns everything, am I obeying him? Am I a devoted dog or a cranky cat? There's not an inch of any sphere of life in which Jesus Christ is not the Lord and does not say, this is mine. Are you afraid to give yourself fully to Adonai? Folks, God is ready to assume full responsibility for the life wholly yielded to him. I want to close this morning by asking you to do something. God calls himself sovereign. He calls himself Adonai. He owns everything, including you and me. And we are called to be his servants. If you are ready to give everything to him, as we pray, I want you to bow your heads. And while you're doing that, would you take your hands and clench them into the tightest fists that you can possibly make? And while you clench those fists, while I pray, I want you to symbolically and literally open up those hands and give him everything. Will you do that with me this morning? Let's pray. Baruch atah Adonai Elohim Numei Laka halalom. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe. Your word declares in Psalm 16 that you are my Adonai. Apart from you, I have no good thing. That is the confession of our hearts today. That you are Adonai and we are not. That you are the owner of everything. We are but managers of what you've given us. You are sovereign. We are servants. We are your possessions. Therefore, we live in submission to you. Do with us what you may and what you must in order to make us more like your Son, that we might serve you fully this day and forevermore. Amen.